Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Guy, welcome in. Thanks for contacting us, too, to kind of amplify a little bit of what I've been saying about Girard College. This notion, Guy, and I'm kind of surprised that David Hardy, I love the guy, as you know, a big proponent of school choice. It's good for Girard College to have them there, but it's fraudulent.
Good afternoon, Dom. Yeah, well, first, look, the school is run by the City Board of Trusts, so it is a decision made by a government agency, and it is the President of the United States. So I do want to run a little interference for our friend Dave Hardy. I have not spoken to him about it. But again, the school is governed by the City Board of Trusts by a group of government officials appointed by Democratic judges. So we may want to give Mr. Hardy a pass. What I won't give a pass is the national media, the Philadelphia media, did everything you just said. You'd have to listen to talk radio to know the irony that Biden and Harris came to North Philadelphia to a school where every single child is there because the parents and guardians exercise choice, being an administration that is 100% opposed to school choice, the campaigns against school choice, takes money from people who are against school choice, to come to one of the poorest neighborhoods of Philadelphia and talk about the wonders of the Biden administration, all they've done for black people in a community that's suffering from crime, inflation, and bad schools, so much so that they found a way to get their kids in this school, and that no one outside of talk radio and folks like you are talking about it, is again, once again, it's the press was asleep at the switch and missed the absolute irony, and no one asked that question. It is journalistic malpractice.
Well, you're the only one. I was unaware of that the city controls who goes there, because David Hardy is one of the biggest all-time proponents and successful people with school choice, particularly with African-American students, some of whom might have had a little rough around the edges till they went to Boys Latin and they were then successful. There's a heck of a story there with all this coverage of it, Guy. Do you think they just ignored it? Or as I often think, they're also incompetent.
Well, look, there's a lot of stories, right? To be there as any reporter who cares anything about education, to not recognize that you're out of school, that first of all is not a college, it's a K-12 school, to not tell the statewide and national audience that it's not a college, it is a school for younger children, and to sit there, as you said, and have somebody that is recognized as a national leader. I mean, Dave Hardy is recruited nationally to give talks. He was recruited into Girard College to save it, to rescue it from the financial challenges it was facing. Here is one of the most dedicated, successful African-American leaders, and frankly, of any race, color, creed, or religion in America. And to not bend his ear for 5 minutes and ask him what he does at Girard College or what he did at Boys Latin was malpractice. But to also sit there and talk about the wonders of this administration and what they've done for black voters and not recognize they're in a school where every single family has chosen to leave the public schools of Philadelphia and find a safe haven where their children are safe and learning, again, it just, to me, it's sitting right in the face, and all they did was just show up, take pictures and say, you know, Joe Biden loves black voters, and he brought Kamala Harris, and then they went and had a nice, fancy, schmancy dinner. It's just unbelievable to me. Who knows? Were they asleep at the switch? Were they lazy? I don't know. It's deeply disappointing. To not interview Dave Hardy is malpractice, and to not talk about school choice smacking them right in the face is malpractice. And frankly, if you walk a block, if a reporter had to drive to that school and see the community around there, but for a few of the oases like Girard College or St. Joe's Prep, you see a community dealing with crime and empty storefronts and schools that don't work, and to not recognize that they're, look at the juxtaposition. I mean, look at those two things against each other. And again, the story is Joe Biden came to Philadelphia because he loves Philadelphia, and it's just malpractice to me.
It is. I'm very glad you're pointing it out. As you know, that's one of the reasons you're in business and I'm in business. The media doesn't do their job. They're either incapable, in the tank, or a combination of the two. And then, Guy, when the president gets up there and tells these little kids, kindergarten, first, second, fourth grade, that they don't want you to have Black history. And they're trying to rewrite that and get it out of there so you can't know about Black history. I can't imagine being inside the head of David Hardy at that point. My God.
Yeah, well, yeah, right. You're at a school of choice. You're at a school where every single child is there because their parent or guardian picked it. I assure you that the history lessons that they're learning, the civics lessons they're learning, the American history lessons they're learning, are a full American history where you can both talk about the horrors of slavery but how we overcame it, the horrors of Reconstruction and Jim Crow and how we overcame it. But we also talk about the founding of this nation and the wonders of the Constitution, and somehow schools like Girard College are able to do both. And not suggest that there's this false choice or that you have to forget everything that happened before 2020 that's somehow sinful and horrible. But again, all those are parents who are there by choice. All of them by choice let their children return each year to this school. It's a school supported by Stephen Girard's trust and charitable donations. People, businesses, neighbors, corporations, people around the city, around the region donate there to give money to give these children a choice. And there it is, dripping in irony about it. And Joe Biden talking about, the horrors of what happens when you have school choice, sitting at a school that only exists through school choice. And it's just unbelievable to me to allow that, to suggest that would happen. It belies the facts. It's sitting there. You didn't even have to do investigative reporting. All you had to do was drive to the school to see the neighborhood it's in. All you had to do was read their mission statement, and all you had to do was a Google search while you're sitting there on I wonder who the CEO is and what he's ever done. He's one of the most successful educators in the United States of America. He defied the soft bigotry that young Black men can't learn. He brought in a Latin regimen that is every bit as strict, every bit as regimented, every bit as rigid as what happens three blocks away at St. Joe's Prep, and took them to national honors in studying Latin, a dead religion of centuries ago. And you have this giant of academia sitting there, and no one asks him, and no one asks him about boys' Latin. It is unbelievable. And as you pointed out, Joe Biden, as president of the United States, gets up and implies the exact opposite. It is scandalous.
It's a Potemkin village. Not that Dave Hardy did it, but that's what they set up there yesterday. That's exactly what it is. Guy, we're waiting, of course, with the jury. It's 8 hours and 14 minutes, according to Fox. They didn't put the seconds up yet. We're waiting on that. And, you are Mr. Suburbs, writing about particularly conservative/moderate Republicans in the suburbs. Do you think if Trump is convicted, then that will be the type of thing? You've written one time, I'm a Republican, but I just want you to know I'm not for Trump. It's like your calling card if you're in Chester County. Will they say then, look, I know Biden's bad, but I can't vote for a convicted felon?
My belief is that the outcome of this trial changes nothing unless he's found not guilty, and it may marginally help. I think it's largely baked in. But let's not confuse the two. I think it's largely baked in. That doesn't mean that somebody won't be interviewed by a TV station or somebody won't be interviewed by a national reporter who descends upon here the next time Joe Biden comes to Chester County and says, Trump was convicted. To me, that's a fig leaf. To me, that is, anyone who says that has already decided for whatever reason that Donald Trump is not the person they're voting on. I think this changes nothing, especially this kangaroo court. What has taken place. I cannot believe it. And again, and your listeners, I was for Ron DeSantis. I met with Governor DeSantis. Mm-hmm. I supported Governor DeSantis. But I mean, this is a choice between Joe Biden and Donald Trump, and what is being done to Donald Trump is ridiculous. The jury charge yesterday from the judge to this jury, the instructions of the jury are They would be comical. If it was a Saturday Night Live skit, we would laugh. But it is scandalous that it would happen to any American and that it would happen to a candidate running for president. So, look, at the end of the day, I don't think it moves one voter. That doesn't mean people at a cocktail party or somebody will tell the Associated Press that that's the reason. Anybody who says that, I think 99 out of 100, they won't vote for him anyway. This is just what they think they should say to be socially acceptable.
How about, now we're starting to see, to your point, I saw several interviews today all over the place of Haley voters in Pennsylvania in this area. And, of course, they're all saying they can't go with Trump. So the Nikki Haley voters that we saw, some of them Democrats in this, but some of them not, Guy, are they dead set against Trump? Is it a wait and see, you know, in significant numbers? Where are they, do you think?
I think they're all over the board, and they're among that very tiny group of people who are undecided. They're of that tiny, tiny group that haven't decided, and I think, you know, the next 6 months are going to change it. I think their default setting is not to be with Trump, but I suspect the economy is not going to get any better. The world's not going to get any safer. The border's not going to be any more secure. Crime's not going to go down. Gas prices are likely to go higher, not lower. It's going to cost us more to heat our homes. So all of those things that people say they care about are going to be trending in Trump's direction. Look, again, the Haley voters are, you know, the 2024 version of the soccer moms or whatever. It's the flavor du jour, and it helps the national media tell a story that tries to reinforce the bigger picture. Look, we all have to remember, this is all about the bigger picture. Chasing Haley voters is really about sending the virtue signaling message that Donald Trump is a bad guy and that only goofy people are for Donald Trump. And so the more they can fixate on this or that block of people, you know, professional women or Haley voters or whoever, the more they can focus on a certain group, it's a virtue signaling campaign to people to say, don't be for Trump. Nobody you know is for Trump. Run away from Trump. Here's another. Here's reason 85 you can be against Trump. I wouldn't be fixated on it. For the Haley voters that are truly up for grabs, for the Haley voters that are truly conservatives, they're going to come home to Trump. For the ones who don't, they were never going to be for Trump anyway.
Parting Area 2, you have another piece, Guy. Tell us where. And the piece is about so-called moderates. Bob Casey Jr. is the perfect example. You write a litmus test, a reasonable one, that exposes these frauds. He votes with Elizabeth Warren 93% of the time. Elizabeth Warren almost out there with Bernie Sanders. So tell us where the column is, and what are you trying to show with this fake moderates in Pennsylvania?
Sure. The column's at Real Clear Pennsylvania. Website is easy to find. It's Real Clear Pennsylvania. It's part of the Real Clear Empire. Pennsylvania and Florida are two states where they invite local columnists to write. I was invited to write pieces on campaigns and continue to do it. So it's at Real Clear Pennsylvania. Look, I wrote it because, as I say in the line, you know, Pennsylvania is a purple state. And so the Bob Casey, Chrissy Houlihan, Susan Wilde up in the Lehigh Valley, they like to use the word bipartisan. They like to get their picture taken at chamber events. They like to share that image. And you do 5 minutes of research, and here's what you find. Bob Casey votes with Elizabeth Warren 93% of the time. Bob Casey votes with Joe Biden 98.5% of the time. Chrissy Houlihan's numbers of support with Pelosi and Biden are even higher. So don't let the newsletter, the warm and fuzzy pictures, you know, Bob Casey now takes pictures with this fake map of Pennsylvania and he shows you where he's been. That's all well and good. Bob Casey's a nice guy. I've had a bunch of conversations with him. He may be a lot of things. He is not a moderate. So if you're a progressive or you're a left-wing person or you have you know, hard left views of the world, Bob Casey's your guy. But if you're a moderate, this is not a moderate. And here's the benchmark. Not my benchmark, not Dom Giordano's. Here's Bob Casey's benchmark. Bob Casey ran for the Senate by being on Meet the Press and looking at Pennsylvania voters in the eye and said, you can't be for Rick Santorum. He's with George Bush 98% of the time. Anybody that goes to Washington and is with another politician 98% of the time, you don't need him. Well, Bob Casey's with Joe Biden 98.5% of the time. So all I want voters to do is hold Bob Casey to the Bob Casey standard. He's with Joe Biden 98.5% of the time for the open borders, the crime, the spending, the lockdowns, the mandates, the weaponization of defense. Look, we don't need Bob Casey. He gives us Joe Biden, so he's not a moderate. And it's time we look at the data in reality and get beyond the pictures and the warm and fuzzy postings on Facebook And I thought it was time to call out the Pennsylvania politicians who like to hide behind it, because the facts aren't there. And as I say, if you vote with the left, you hang out with the left, and you let the left control the agenda, you're a leftist. I don't care what suit you wear, what pictures you put on social media. Bob Casey is essentially Elizabeth Warren. Chrissy Houlihan is essentially Nancy Pelosi. Susan Wild is essentially Nancy Pelosi. They're not moderates unless we've redefined what moderate is. Big government, open borders, no cash bails, men in sports, and violent crime is not the record of a moderate. And Bob Casey, you know, who thought, Don, we would live to a point where John Fetterman is the outspoken leader and voice of common sense among our two senators. Bob Casey is not even as courageous or as moderate as John Fetterman. He's failed the test.
Absolutely. Thank you, Guy. I like that Fetterman reference. Thank you, Guy. Thanks very much.
Dom Giordano, weekdays noon till 3 from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.